Okay. The topic we're going to do tonight is the subject of Nichale Le'inish Le'me'evet Mitzvah B'memoinai. I'm sure all of you recall the first shiur we said this year, which we discussed the topic, that just because you imagine a person allows you to use his chayfetz, you're not allowed to use it. Right? If you walk into a person's house and you want to open the fridge and take a bottle of soda out of the refrigerator.
That was the first shiur, exactly.
That was the first shiur. We discussed the ketzos, we discussed the shach, right? That was the first shiur of the year we did. It was a beautiful shiur, and it was a beautiful subject. There's many different achronim. We discussed the exceptions to the rule. The basic topic, what we said was, that if you walk into a person's house, so usually, well, I take that back. If it's usually, then we had, that was a possible exception of regilus, that the person usually allows you to gives you permission. Or if it's a mild thing, like a dove muet, where most people allow, that also might be an exception to the rule. But one thing was clear, when it's only for you that he allows, because he's a good friend of yours, but he's not home, and you can't ask him, and afterwards when he comes, he says, oh, you in my house? Why didn't you take a drink while you were there? Still, you know he's going to say that to you. You still can't take his item without permission. And where did we learn that from? There was a Tosfot, right, in Bava Metzia, in the sugya of Yish Loi Midas, right? Everybody remembers that Yish Loi Midas, Loi Hava Yish, which means if the person is Miyayish, and he doesn't know that he was Miyayish, so that's not a Yish, until he finds out. Similarly here, if it's Yish Loi Midas, it's Loi Hava Yish. Now everybody recalls, we read the Shach, that the Shach wanted to disagree with Tosfos. The Shach said that it's very different. Because by Yish Loi Midas, when he finds out he lost the item, what does he do? He screams out, "Oy, Vayel Chasaron Kis, what a shame, I lost my wallet." On the other hand, when it comes to not Yish Loi Midas, but rather in our subject, when he finds out that you opened his refrigerator and you took a fruit, he's thrilled. That's what the Shach's argument against Tosfot was. But on the other hand, the problem is, firstly, it's difficult for the Shach, who's an Achroin, disagree with Tosfos. And we said at that shir, if you remember clearly, that I quoted a ktsois that says, no, the halacha is not like the shach, the halacha is like Tosfos. And we quoted the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan and many others who all said that the ruling is like Tosfos. So the bottom line is, if you clearly know a person's going to allow you to use his item, you still can't use his item because of the topic, the issue of Yish Loi Midas, Loi Hava Yish, right? And that's how we ruled. We said a lengthy shiur, we defined all the angles to that subject, but this was the bottom line ruling on that question. Now, let's talk tonight on a specific topic. You want to come and use another person's item, but now it's a mitzvah to use his item. You walk into shul one morning, and what happened? You forgot your talit and your tefillin at home. So can you borrow another person's talit and his tefillin, or not? Or you walk into shul, and you see another person has a shtender, right, in the shul. Here I don't see too many of them, but many shuls, people bring their own private shtender, and they daven on those. Can you borrow that without permission? Or you walk into shul, and the person has a sefer. Can you take another person's sefer without permission?
Because the difference between talit tefillin, which is a mitzvah, and shtender, which is not.
Good. Is a shtender a mitzvah? Not good. That's the next point. It's not truthfully a mitzvah. And what's called a mitzvah, right? You know, one of the classic discussions which we're going to have soon, which, you know, I don't think by the Sfaradim that will be an issue, but in certain circles of the Ashkenazim, people wear gartel, right? You go into certain shuls and they say, if you want to go and daven in front of the right? What's that?
Landas.
You must take a gartel and put it, that's their chumr in certain shuls. So you walk in, and you don't have a gartel. Can you go and borrow another person's gartel? Now, that's just more of a chumrah. That's not really a mitzvah. So can you say that in that case too? And, you know, chahena v'chahena. This is the discussion that we're having. Let's try to go through this topic by this shiur. So if you take a look on page number 2, the Rush in Masechta Chulin tells us the following statement. V'nahagi lehis'atev b'talisoi shel chaveirev. The meaning is that people go and they put on a talis that belongs to their friend. Afila even below yediyah, without their knowledge, without permission, imivarech, and you make a bracha. Remember, if you can make a bracha, that means that there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, because if there was something, people were stealing, it's b'tzei abeyach niyam, right? Niyetz Hashem is disgusted with a bracha on something stolen. V'samchu al zeh, what's the reason we are saymach on this? The nichalei leinish leavid mitzvah bevemaynai. A person is willing and happy that a mitzvah should happen with his money. Now,
what about the
zeah? Good. Wait. We're going to discuss that in a couple of moments. Are people today more particular than they were at the time of Chazal? Good question. Go ahead. We'll talk about that in a couple. I want to first define the subject, and then we'll get to the halacha lemaisa, like you say, on each case. Okay? Go ahead.
When you say the nichalei leinish,
right? Excellent question. What does it mean, the nichalei leinish lemeva mitzvah v'mayne? It's extremely important for us to define what that means. Let's step back. I said an introduction. Usually you can never use another person's object without permission. Why? Because yish loy midas, loy have yish. So why is it different here when it's nichalei leinish lemeva mitzvah v'mayne? It's an obvious question. Just because the person allows, again, if we're close friends, and when I walk into your house, you would have allowed me to open the refrigerator and take a drink of soda. We still said I'm not allowed to do so because I don't have your actual permission to do so. So why is it different over here when you have a talit like he's mentioning? And yes, it's nichalei leinish. Every person allows. But on the other hand, you didn't give permission. So it should be the same problem of yish shaloi midas, loy have a yish, right? That's the obvious question, how does it work? So if you take a look at the ktsois, which is the bottom ktsois on this page, ktsois achosh and simen reish samon beis sifkot and aleph, and if you go down, three quarters of the way down, two lines before three lines before the dot, where it says ivetaz, here it says, even though we have the issue of yish loy midas, which would mean the meikara at the onset lo yoda, he didn't know. Mahani, it works. Vahatam. So the Ketzoy Sachoshin explains, Mishim the mitzvah shani, a mitzvah is different. I mahani, and it works. Afila lo yoda meikora, even if there was no prior knowledge. I mishim the mistoma nichlei meikora. Now listen, Ms. Ashkenazi, how he adds those important words. The nichlei by a mitzvah accomplishes that from the beginning the person allowed. Which means, and let's redefine it. You know, if you go to the yeshivas today, where they learn a lot of lumdas, this is one of the favorite lumdasha topics, you know, and they have this concept that since it's nichalei leinish lemev mitzvah memoinai, it becomes like an automatic permission. In other words, no, it's not like yish lo midas where, exactly, it's not like it starts off as an isur, and then in retrospect, lemafreya, what happens is you have permission. No, nichalei leinish creates that it's automatic. And for those that speak, Yiddish, you know, the Yiddish, they say it says oz gebak in the hearts. You know, it's an automatic from the heart. Everybody will allow you to use it. By nichalei leinish lemev mitzvah memoinai. Now, I'll just stop here for a moment and just bring out an interesting point to you. There's a sefer called the Ma'asav L'chol HaMachanos, and he learns that nichalei leinish doesn't work with the same mechanics as the ktsois just explained it. He says rather nichalei leinish works midin arvus, that it works midin arvus, which means kol yisrael areivim zeh lazeh, and you have to go and do for another person. So since you have to go and do for another person, so automatically it's sort of like just you tried to explain it before, that like maybe like a hefka bez and hefka concept, that automatically your money is there for mitzvot, yours or for other people's mitzvot. Now, where will there be a difference between if you learn like the Ktzois or if you learn like the Ma'asav L'chol HaMachnos? For example, if you have a Kotan who has no obligation of Arvus possibly, and you want to go and a Kotan should take somebody else's item with Nichalei Le'inish Lamev Mitzvah Memoinai.
What mitzvah does a Kotan
have? Every mitzvah. He wants to go and borrow your item for a mitzvah, but there's no Nicha.
He doesn't have a mitzvah. He's not Hayav.
He's not Hayav. So if you learn from Arvus, the answer would be no. But if you learn from Nicha, you would allow a child also to be Yotza Mitzvah. I mean, everybody would want a child to be Yotza Mitzvah. So, or for example, a woman.
You're taking your lulav, let's say.
Oh, we'll talk.
You might break it. I don't know.
We'll talk about that. That's true. We're gonna, in this shiur, we're going to discuss. There's a famous Trumas Hadeshet about coming into shul and taking a person's lulav. Go ahead. Yes. Because he gets. That's very likely. That's an important part of it. Again,
you're getting
a schar, and that's what it. That's definitely included. But the issue that we need to view. Either way, you know what? The bottom line is we need to answer one question. Again, we can approach it from any angles. But the question we must answer is, you're saying the person has permission to use it. Why does the person have permission to use it? If Yish Lami Das, Lo Yehavi Yish. And somehow we have to say, this is not a situation of Yish, and then we're reversing the Yish. But rather, for whatever one of the above reasons that we're mentioning, it's an automatic permission. Everybody has the permission, and the permission starts immediately, rather than later when the person finds out. But there's no question that your angle definitely contributes either to Arvis or Nicha. It'll work either way. Okay. Now, before we get bogged down in all the lumbus, I mean, others want to explain that it works from umdana. Umdana is when you know clearly that everybody would allow it. You know, there's all kind of different ways of explaining it, but this is the bottom line. This is the halacha, and it's important for us to approach this halacha very well because there's a tremendous discussion on this halacha, and we have to know what are the rules, when yes, when no, right, when no. You mentioned how about people are finicky, what happens with those situations. So we'll approach that in a few seconds. Now, let's continue and read the Rush by the Dat. V'im matza mikupeles, if you found the talis folded up, yachzer v'yikaplena kavirishoina. Now you should go and refold it like it was in the beginning. The ilav hochi, because if you don't refold it, right, then lav hochi lo nichalei, so then it's no nichalei. What does that mean? A person comes into shul in the morning, and he opens up his bag of his talit, he sees this talit, it's put in like it's like a ball. It's just pushed in. It's not neatly folded like he always does. A person sees that his tefillin. So what's that?
My son Miss Minion and Yanni's wife.
Exactly the point. And the first thing he says to himself, he says, who used my talit? Come on, this is how you put it back. So that's no nicha. Nicha has to be that the person is very happy. Or for example, you borrow another person's talit and you leave it in the other end of the shul, and he has to go search the whole shul in the morning until he finds it. There's no nicha in that situation. So there's an important addition that we're learning immediately, and that is that there has to be that there's no loss. While I'm doing the mitzvah, I can't suffer any personal loss. You know, even if you come into the shul and you take somebody else's talit and tefillin, you better stay in that same place. Because if the person walks in, he suddenly can't find it, then you were stealing by your davening. Then you suddenly are not allowed to do it. Okay? Now, there's a very famous Namuka Yosef on this rush, and the Namuka Yosef asked, whoever learned the Dafa Yayimi, go ahead.
Can that be a nafkamina between the Kitzoyt and the Arivut?
Yeah.
The Kitzoyt is on Nichale.
Right.
Right? And Arivut. So suppose you didn't fold it the way it was, and you have the Arivut. Mm-hmm. It could be that the Arivut could still work.
Absolutely. You make a very, very good point. There is a discussion in that same tshuva, the Maasev L'chol HaMachnois, where he wants to say, here's going to be the classic disagreement. I'll take what you said and we'll take it a step further. If you have a situation of Nichalei L'inish L'mev Mitzvah M'Molenei, so people are usually happy. You have one person that you know he's a kapdan, and this person specifically you know does not want you to use this item, even if you get a mitzvah. So if you're going to view it from Nicha, so the answer is no. If you're going to view it from Arvis, so Arvut, the answer is yes. That is the example that the Ma'asav L'chol HaMachnois gives. Now let me just tell you, it's nice for a lumdish discussion. The reality is that if you look at the Psak, just about everybody learns that it works with Nicha, and once a person is Makpid, there's a concern. Okay, I just discussed it more that we should have a feeling to the topic, but the bottom line is, as we're going to go through the subject, Nicha is the true point that we are going to focus on. Now, the Namika Yosef asks, he says, what's going on over here? Whoever learned the Daf HaYomi, learned in Bava Metzia, that if you have another person's Sefer Torah, you have no right to read in the other person's Sefer Torah. So what do you see clearly? That you don't say, Nichale Le'inish, Lamem Nisbimoyne, because you can't use the Sefer Torah.
Yeah, the
what's the difference?
Hard to write, but it wasn't common.
It gets room. Okay, good,
you can't
good.
Get enough.
Excellent, fine. So the answer is get room. So take a look at page two. It's the second Ma'ar Mokem on the page which says Divrei Chamudos al Harosh. Read it. V'zel Hashem b'Namiki Yosef. Behilchasitzis, Bemokam Shenai Hagen, Lavorach Talisei, and the Basak Nesses, in Bolus Atif Bo, Lefishol, Zibur Koyman, Mut, Lechash of Shoyish Tamidas Gazan, Kivin, the Lekachashash, look at these keywords. This covers what you just mentioned. Because when you use another person's talit, there's no concern of Kili Karna, of the Keren, the principle of the item, Kili becoming destroyed.
Depreciation.
So then he claimed the Shemeres of Moinek. Masha'en came bisforim. Now says the Divrei Chemuda, it's the point of the Mika Yosef and the point that you just mentioned. If it's a sefer, that's going to get ruined. The Sheva Yave Likros Behem, maybe you're going to come and read in it. Harbe, much, Ache Yikra, till it will become ripped. Beroif Mishmish, for much use. Okay, right? Adkam, Keloima. Ah, talus in der chasata vayel b'shas tefillah. You don't wear a talus all day. You just put it on.
To it gets stuck on the chair and you rip it. I mean, you can wear it.
No. If that's the situation that a person's talit does get, but let me say there's something else. From one time use, does that happen?
Normally not.
So you should say anicha by one time.
One time the book also doesn't.
But the Divrei Chemuda seems to be concerned, one second, that there's no such thing as using a book one time. You get a book, you become addicted, you get a sefer, you're reading, you become addicted to the sefer. So that's what seems to be the difference.
But the rabbi is saying, you can't atata dvarecha l'shivurim, you tell him only once.
Absolutely.
Once by him.
Yeah, but each time it's nicha. You see, there are certain items. You look at it. You view the depreciation. If you asked me for, if I knew that person used my tablet one time, it wouldn't bother me. If you want to use my, you see, I'll show you soon. There's a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that a person has a gevalik echap. What is the idea he comes up with? He says, so I don't got to buy my bachur that becomes a bar mitzvah. I don't have to buy him talit and tefillin. I'll send him every morning into shul and he'll take somebody's talit and tefillin with nicha. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it won't work. Because if you do the collective usage, there'll be wear and tear. So you're right, it is not satat derech l'shiyurim. I agree 100%. That if the situation will become that there's a daily usage and that will be the depreciation, then that will be the halacha. It will not be allowed to be used. But a talit for one time, there's not a substantial enough wear and tear that we need to be concerned.
So one time also should be okay then, according to that.
But the Divrei Chemuda says that there's a concern by a sefer that you're going to become nimshach into the sefer. Okay, that's what he writes. I'm showing you what he writes. He addresses your point. He doesn't skip your point. He says, listen. Listen, I'll show you soon. That is an Aruch HaShulchan that I will show you. That writes that even though you're not allowed to use another person's sefer, but the Aruch HaShulchan says a chidush, which is a wild chidush, and he says exactly what you're saying now. He says iyun bialma, just to glance through it, you're allowed to. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Iyun bialma.
As you're rolling it.
Correct.
Right.
One is to pull one way, one is to pull the other way. I want to tell you something. These forum today, there are those that are matrit, but we'll go through the subject. I just want to show you the Rishon of the Achronim. It's a little hard to be matrit, and I'll show you a few more possible heterim by the same. Okay. So now this is the basic introduction to the topic. Now take a look at page number 3. And let's skip down to the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom. Because in this Mishnah Berurah there are 5-6 extremely important points regarding this halacha. Okay, one second. Good. Take a look on the bottom, Yud Gimel. Right? You see the bottom Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of page number 3. Talas chaver, perish aloi midatoi, denich leilin ishlomev mitzvilev mitzvah v'moinei. V'dafke be'akroi. Right, that was the first discussion we had. It has to be temporary. Av b'kviyus osa. V'afile b'akroi. Next rule. Dafke b'oise mokem, in that exact space. Av loitzi mi'beisa le'beis ha'knesses. O yipcha osa. To remove it, it's osa. The efshad shemakbidola. Maybe he's makbid. V'have gezel. V'ayim prima godim shekosav. V'b'chol gavin, in every situation, Roy Lizoy, you should be careful. Kisha Bail of Ima, when the Balabatim are there, Shayishaleni, that you should ask him. Very important. You have the case where the person who owns the talit and the tefillin is in the shul. So what are you going to say? I can use it because of nicha, but the person's there, so you can ask him. If you can ask the person, then you don't say nicha le'lin shul le'ev mitzvah le'moina, right? He's there. Ask him. He says you're not soymech on a chazaka when you can verify it very easily. The truth is, there's a fascinating ktsois who in that first, I didn't mention it in that first shir, but now I'll mention it. We discussed in that first shir that one of the possible heterim was a dovah mu'et, a small amount of small value. That was one of the, which we said that just about everybody agrees. You recall that shir, the discussion we discussed was we quoted a tshuva in the Shalmas Chaim, who was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, who discusses if you're allowed to go into a bathroom of a shul without permission. Right? That was the discussion we had then. So we said that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was concerned. Why was he concerned? Because then the water was expensive. They had to have somebody's, right? They have to have a person carry the water. But today, what's that?
We have people that come use the bathroom, they don't pray here.
That they don't pray here. So if it's a dova mu'et and we're not makbid, then l'chayr it's okay. The discussion we had.
People come taking food and then they go learn other places.
So maybe it's not a dova mu'et. Maybe after a while it becomes a. Look, I want to tell you something. All of these cases.
I have mixed feelings, I'll be honest with you.
You're right. You're right. I'll tell you why you're right. No. That's not true. You're right. I'll tell you why you're right.
It's a courtesy for people praying over here.
You can say it was given with the consent, permission that everybody expected that the people here should have, and if the people here won't have, there's a disappointment. Look, I want to tell you why you are right, because the Mechaber says that even by Yadav Amuit, the Mechaber brings down, Va'af ze osru b'yishalmi, Mipnei Midas Chasidut. That's what the Mechaber writes. Now, we're usually not obligated to be concerned about every Midat Chasidut, but if the Mechaber tells us, the Beis Yosef told us, we should be concerned because of Midas Chasidut, and he quotes the Yishalmi, that becomes our obligation. If you read the Sma in that Siman in Sivkot and Dalit, the Sma says, why are we concerned when every person takes a small amount, mimidas chasidut? So the Sma says, the example that the Mechaber gives is a person has a fence, and every person walks by and takes a little splinter for a toothpick. Right? That's the example that's given over there. And the reason why you should be concerned is because eventually there won't be a fence left. Everybody's going to take a little toothpick and there won't be a fence. That's what the Sma tells us. So if you're telling me that people constantly are coming in and they're taking all the food and it's getting used up, then there's definitely a hakpadah. It should not be used. I agree with you 100%. Now, though, I will tell you that in a situation where there's no makpid, it's not getting used up, where probably if a person really needs a bathroom, most people in the shul allow the person to walk in from the outside. That's pretty much accepted. However, there's a chazanish, I quoted at the first shir, that the chazanish says, you still shouldn't do it because you're teaching yourself to be margul with geneva. You're learning how to take from others without permission, and that's why he's against it. But the chazanish is the only one that says that. But besides that, usually that is totally acceptable. So the ktsois has a very interesting discussion. The ktsois says, how about the guy standing right there? So you take his item that's very small. It's a dove mu'et, nobody's makbid. So he says, give it back to me. So you say, excuse me, you're not makbid, it's a dove mu'et. So the ktsois says, hey, you can laugh at that, excuse me, it belongs to him, he's here. I mean, you can't tell a guy, okay, let me take that from you because it's a dove mu'et, doesn't make any sense. If the bailam are there, you don't have any of these heterim. So similarly here, if you want to use the person's talit and tefillin, and the bailam are standing right there, so you have no right to say that argument anymore. That argument is not valid. Now, I'll happen to tell you that there's an interesting tshuva in the Sefer Minchas Aloza, who was written by the Minkacharov, Chelik Beis Simon Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, who discusses, he says, today some people have very expensive tefillin, very fancy tefillin. He says, maybe they are makbid. On a very expensive, out of the ordinary pair of tefillin, somebody has a Yerusha from his family. You know, it's not always that you say the concept of nicha. Now, but a typical talit, you see clearly, the Mechaber says, you can borrow it without permission, just fold it up. Now, what do you do with Shabbat? Can you fold the talit on Shabbat? So how do you refold it?
But that's not the way you got it.
You didn't get it that way.
But the guy also doesn't want you to mechal Shabbat either.
Okay, so the nicha, very good. You hear what he's saying? There becomes a nicha that he doesn't want you to fold it on Shabbat. But what does he want you to do? Does he want you just to leave it open, or he wants you to fold it the wrong way?
What is the wrong way?
Huh?
He wants you to fold it the wrong way.
He wants you to fold it the wrong way. What are you saying? There's no makel. Yeah. A person makes an error in how and that. There's no makel.
We use the talis and Shabbos in the shul also. They have talis for everybody.
Right.
We have to put it back in the talis bag. Right.
Right.
We still have to fold it.
You fold it not the regular way in Shabbat.
The shul doesn't want you to throw it. You fold it not. The shul doesn't want you to throw it.
No, but you don't fold the regular way. So. You don't fold the regular way. That becomes a nicha. That becomes the nicha is according to what the Torah wants. Take a look. Look at the next Mishnah where he discusses it. Tezvo, he says as follows: Sheyakpil oisa ki kipula arisha, like was folded the first time. Yve Shabbos yikapul oisa v'lo ki kipula arisha, and folded differently than usual.
Wow!
Look at that.
That would be my thing. You know.
What do you mean?
It would bother me when I come on Sunday and I see my talis. I don't use it on Saturday, Monday, Friday. I want my talis.
You have to say that the das of most people is that I'm happy. You have to say as follows: I'm happy it was used, and usually I'd be aggravated that it was not folded properly.
Yeah,
but since it's Sunday, I say, look, I don't want the guy to be mechal Shabbat, and I'm happy he had a talit in shul. And you have to put that together. It's fascinating. And then he continues. What's amazing is you start to go through these halachas of nichle in shlemevus bemoinai. And you'll see. I mean, we're first sort of like getting our feet wet in these halachas. Look at this. Continues. He says. Then he continues. I skipped. The one before. But among Avram, make up a Shabbos. Shalom, kapel klal. Among Avram says on Shabbos, leave it totally not folded. By the way, you know, one of the things which I always like sort of amuses me when I learn this subject on Motzei Shabbos, you're supposed to go back and fold the talit, and it's a big skula for Shalom Bayis, right? On Motzei Shabbos, you read the Ben Ishchai and the Kafachayim. If a person did not fold at Motzei Shabbos and Sunday morning, they write to Sakana, you should check out the talit. You all kind of things written on that. So I guess Motzei Shabbos, he doesn't want you to go fold his talit because he wants to have the Shalom Bayis himself. So I guess if you down in the first minion and somebody else uses it the second minion, he refolds it not properly, and then he refolds it not properly, and you have to go fold
yourself. You still have to put it back into the talit bag.
That's a disagreement here, and I guess we have to go based on the mind. The mindset, I would imagine today that people don't want you to leave it strewn all over the place. There are certain people that are makbid not to even fold it in that way. So I guess that's why the Mogen Avraham brings down that second opinion. But most people would like to have it refolded in the appropriate way. Okay, so the talit itself, we seem to say clearly, is okay. Now comes the Aruch HaShulchan, go to page 4 on the top, and he says, not so quick. It could be today, it's different. Today people are concerned with cleanliness, and today people are not comfortable with having another person's talit worn by another person. So take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan.
People
sneezing, right? Whatever, they're uncomfortable. He says, Kosvi atuv shulchan aruch, siv dalet, demutu litul talis l'chavei, v'lavar chalel, v'lavar chikap leisim matzim v'kepel. Ad kan shodim, mishim v'ali nichle ilin shlemes v'moni, v'rotzoin bal hatalis b'kach, v'loi kopet v'lachein. Now, here comes the Aruch HaShulchan. I told you this point is a disagreement. We discussed, depending on how you understand Nicha or Aruch, it's fine. But the Aruch HaShulchan rules, Iyadina de Gavit Kapadne is a person who has Hakpadis, he's not an easygoing person. Also, little Shloimidate. V'nir Lani is Daiti. The Aruch HaShulchan says his own Chidush, which he said very recently, not many years ago. After Rabbi Seinu Pasku, Hadin Hazeh the Bistama Mutal Likatals Havesh Shlamidatas Palboy Mitam the Vali Nichle. Me says, however, in today's days, Anan Chazin, and we see the Harbe Makpidim Bazeh. Many people are concerned. Ma'oid, if a frat keshatalis uchodesh benoki tznu clean fresh. Vigamish Melam Shain Simon Klal Show the Machi Yubish Begashalahem Mitam Ziv Vinikiyas. He said, you got to really think about this well. I mean, I just want to make a suggestion and tell me if I disagree. If I thought about it, I probably would not be comfortable if a person put my talit over his head. I would agree with that. But how about if a person put it over his shoulders? They fold it back. I don't know. You fold back the talit. I just wonder. You don't think people would be bothered by that too, equally?
About the shoulder? That's the derech of wearing it.
On the head, I can see clearly people are concerned. He was, by the way, the Rosh Hashanah was Ashkenaz, they wear the talit on the they should wear talit on their head the whole davening, right? So the talit on the head that I can see clearly is on a person's head and face, so that's bothered. But if a person has it on their shoulders, you think people would be disgusted too? I wonder.
But if that's the derech that people wore talit on their heads, and according to the Maran that says it's mutar, then that's the derech that people will not be makpid.
Correct. But today he's saying it's not clear anymore. This halacha, he says, today it's not clear because today people are concerned. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And even though we clearly saw that historically people have no problems with it, today today people are bothered. I don't know, but when you put on the talit, you don't put it first over your head.
Sure.
So you put it. I guess the truth is, which there's two opinions. Adguma Shabalechi. It's either this way or this way. It's the cheekbones. Whatever. There's different opinions, and we're showing how you read that. Yeah, but so the truth is really, I mean, I don't know.
When you
kiss the tzitzit. That's somebody else once mentioned when you kiss the tzitzit. Put your eyes. All right, so you don't have to actually kiss with your mouth. You can kiss it from a distance. It's interesting. But I'm just telling you that the Aruch HaShulchan suddenly goes and he throws a monkey wrench into this whole topic, and he says that people might be concerned. And I can hear it. Yeah,
people are more
germophobic, right?
Are they?
Yes, absolutely. People today
put
are.
Put away in the shul for
germs. Yeah, that's because of all the illnesses going on today. Yeah, but people today are more in tune in the germs because there are many more
bugs. Somebody has a cold. What about somebody has a cold?
Yeah, sure, you can understand.
Somebody has a cold, for sure you're going to catch it because the germs are there.
I get it. Okay, if the cold cells will live in the talent, in the clothing, I hear what you're saying. Fine, but this is a bit more of a chumr. Now, comes the Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim says another interesting point. He says, this concept that it was okay to use another person's talis, he has a different concept. Take a look at the next piece. He says, "Ayin taz yeshla stopik in bebeis rishoy." He says, "You know why? Possibly it was a nicha because the person left his talit in the shul, and in the shul everybody said, you know what? I'm leaving it there because if somebody wants to use it, you can use it. But how about if it's in my house? The person's in my house. Can he take my talit without permission?" He says, "Not necessarily. Give bebeis Yosef maybe." The wording of the Bet Yosef was, "Oisan hamanichin talisayim bebeis hakneses." Because you left it in shul, habebeisa, but at home no. Like the roy vadik shabaylavim, he says clearly the guy, if the baylam is there, you should clearly ask him. And then he goes back and he mentions what we said before. Now let's go back to our topic, which is by far the talit we discussed. The talit and the tefillin, medina, the gemara, the rishonim was okay. The Aruch HaShulchan says today it's questionable. All the possible exceptions that has to be temporary. And if he's there, you have to ask him, and he can't have any damage. You have to put it back in the same place. We discussed all of those halachas already. The Rama puts them in the same line, talit and tefillin. Why is that?
More.
I want to just suggest something else, Mr. Ashkenazi. If a person you hear one day didn't wear a talit, it won't bother you that much because you don't, according to the halakha, you don't really have to wear one. But if you hear that because of you, a person didn't know if you're allowed, they didn't let you wear tefillin, you'd be much more bothered. So on the other hand, you can hear it both ways. You really can hear this point both ways. Now the problem is, let's go back to the Svarim. And the Svarim, while everybody today like says, what's the big deal? I find it to be one of the most complicated topics because if you know a lot of these topics you can't go with your feeling. You have to first go through all the Achroinim and the Rishonim and see what they said on the topic. And the Svarim, they were very medactic on. They felt you're going to get too involved in the Sefer. They felt you're going to rip the Sefer. And the truth is, it's a little hard for me to read it today, because today Svarim are not very expensive. And people buy Svarim all the time. And I don't think people are really medactic to get a couple of tiers in their Svarim. But look, it's hard to say it when we'll have to first read what it actually says. Go ahead.
What about somebody sometime who wants to ask for something and Mishum Kisufa?
As like a Suda Shane Maspekis Labayo. Right, Suda Shane Labayo.
Exactly, I was going to say that.
Okay, yeah. We'll talk about it, but not right. I want to stick to mitzvah.
But there is such a concept?
Yes. Nilchus Ganeva, clearly there's such a concept. Yes, 100%.
Even in Shela?
Yes, clearly. But I don't want to go off the topic. I want to stick to mitzvah because there's still quite a few topics I want to discuss. So the Prima Gordon brings it down as follows. He says, Ayin Taz, V'oil Nehang B'Beis HaKnesses K'Shemaitzi and Sid the Tfilah Chedoy Meshach HaVeir Sh'loichem B'loy Das Bailov. The Prima Gordon says, take a look. This is a Sifkot and Zion. He says, in the shul, everybody goes and uses the other person's talis and tefillin, sforim, without permission. V'eini yodeya heter lezeh. I don't know of a heter. Imaish nesidim is sforim. What's the difference of sidim? Say, but dover do achasi. It's all one. The talis basic nes who the shuri has sforim, af basic nes is also sidim machzorim. So comes the Prima Gordon. Prima Gordon, who is one of the most powerful in psak, says, no. Sefer, a siddur, no heter. That's what he writes. If you recall, when we discussed the last shiur for Rigilut, right, I mentioned an interesting Eish Lavrom in Simon Yud Dal in Aruchayim. The Eish Lavrom, who was the Rav in the city of Bechach, had an interesting minhag. He would stand, his shtender was in the front of the shul, and he would go for Kriyat HaTorah, he would go to the center of the shul, and there would a person would hand him every single day his Sidur, that he can read the Yehirat Soins and read the Kriyat HaTorah in a Sidur. So what happened was, one day the person wasn't there, and other people handed to him this Sidur. So the Eish Lavrom went, he took it, and he used it. And he said three reasons why he used it. Firstly, he says, there was Rigilut, which means the person allowed him, many, gave him permission many times ready to use it. And secondly, he says that it's using a Siddur quickly, there's no Kilikarna. So you see, he says such a Lashon. He did subscribe a bit to that concept that a Siddur doesn't get ruined, but he didn't use it on his own. He only used it with a Tziruf for two other reasons, and Nicha. So he, at the end, he actually went and he used it. So, but what is actually the heter of Sforim? Take a look at page number 5, and you'll see on page number 5 the Oruch HaShulchan that I mentioned to you. The Kosav Rabbeini HaRamah, the Tfilin Mutter. Okay, remember I told you Tfilin's okay. Gam Pelitl, Avul also limits Sforim Shechaveir, but Sforim is also. Beloy Daitem without permission. The top piece on page number 5. The Cheshinim, because you're concerned, Shema Yikro Isim Belimuda, you might go and tear it while you're learning. The Shemi Ayin Baharva, Achayikra Miroi Mishmishai, right? Mikol Mokon. Okay, even if you're just doing it once in a while, you're not allowed because you're going to end up using it, it's going to pull you. Mikol Mokon La Ayin Baalma, which means just to take a quick look what it is. Huh? Mar Mokoimis, take a quick look, another person safer. Mehagen Heta. Vechain, Lik Chsidim Machsa Bloidius Abailim. A Siddur or a Machsa, the Oruch HaShulchan says, Ruba di Alma in Makpin. Okay, it's interesting. The Oruch HaShulchan had a very interesting opinion. And it's fascinating because the Oruch HaShulchan points to another Oruch HaShulchan where he discusses the famous question. The famous question is, you go to Shul Friday night. And after you go to Shul Friday night, you want the latest to walk out. It usually happens to me. And after I walk out, somebody took my raincoat. And it's pouring rain. But he left me his. Can I take his and go home with it? Of course not. Why not? Because mine, unfortunate, right? What happened. His, Shabbos Aveda, it's be seriously, right? You got a whole discussion. You let me out of shit. You don't say it's not. But it's not a mitzvah. When he finds out, it'll be nichal, yishlam idas, right? This goes into our discussion. The Oruch HaShulchan there writes that he believes that if it's galoshes, he writes, or rubbers, those are the boots they used to put on their feet, you could take, because universally all people allow you to change galoshes and rubbers with them. That's what he writes over there, big chiddush. Even though the halacha is that the coat you can't, this was his chiddush. He seems to extend the same thing to a siddur and a machsa. He says everybody allowed a siddur and a machsa. Interesting. Plus, he says, Ian Bialma is also okay. But I want to just show you, look at the next line. Kafachayim. Look at the Kafachayim was not convinced at all. Look at this Kafachayim. He says, V'ramein nesarim b'zeh, V'ashem atoy v'chapa ba'adam. Why? Hishkogehi demayizka ngevel etroich v'liyizigal l'rik. Why do you want to waste your time and learn and lose your whole schar for the learning? Look at this Kafachayim. V'asoyse mitzvah b'aveir l'kabel, nega tachas oynig. It's the same letters, oynig and nega, the same, interchangeable, the same letter. You thought you're going to get oynig, you're going to get a reward from Hashem for learning Torah. What are you going to get? You're going to get a nega instead. Rather, just don't even learn. Don't take the sefer. If you sat somewhere you didn't do an aver, you also get a schar. You're more in kedushin, right? Nice and schar, nice and mitzvah. But all the Yisrael limchel lefas and the nichlel mevet mitzvah desorv. And the Chavah Chaim has a suggestion that he would appreciate that everybody would put a big sign in a sefer mutter l'shtamash shaloi b'shus. But of course, you should write that the people should keep do it in the proper place, because you know the svarim have feet and they travel all over the place. They seem to move around. And then he says, okay, so now the Gavachaim says an interesting point. He says a siddur and for tefillah, he says it becomes, since everybody takes it from the other people, it's like you wrote in there that is a heter. But a regular sefer, he doesn't say that. As long as you're going to go and put it back in its proper place. Okay? So this is suddenly a Kaf HaChaim, and sort of like Tita Mariach writes the same concept, that the heter is that because everybody allows you to use their siddur, so there's like an express written permission on a siddur. There's an interesting Chazanish. The Chazanish writes in Dinim Van Hogois that he davened in the shul on Rosh Hashanah. A lot of people came to daven there on Rosh Hashanah morning, but Rosh Hashanah at night they left their cheers there already. So he speaks, are you allowed to use their cheers from the night before? And the Chazanish writes, yes. And the reason he says you're allowed to use the cheers is because the people left their cheers for the day. Once you leave it in the Bais Medrash, you expect people are going to take it. That's what the Chazanish writes. Similar to this concept. Now, let's move on over here and let's discuss what happens with the case of the Gartel that I mentioned. Is the Gartel also considered a mitzvah or not? Move to page number 6, and you'll see on page number 6 there's a tshuva from the Ha'elaf Lecho Shloimeh, who was Reb Shloimeh Kluger. And Reb Shloimeh Kluger has a question: if you're allowed to take another person's kittel without permission, his nice, beautiful white kittel, and wear it without permission. And Reb Shloimeh Kluger says, yes, you're allowed to.
Huh?
Dirty. So he says, the kittel gets dirty. He says, you can wash it, it's not going to get ruined. That's what he writes. Look at this, you got to read this. It's amazing. You have a kittel of another person.
This is a bar mitzvah.
That's exactly what I want to address. Your point. I'm about to approach it. But he says it's okay. He says, Ve'ein loyma, look at the last few lines. I'm going to address his point first of it getting dirty, then I'll address your point. He says, Ve'ein loyma, are you going to tell me the osil uslacha gets dirty? Ze'ena, it's not true. Right? Once you wash it, it goes back to its original form. You know, it was interesting. The Divrei Chaim, who was the famous Rav of Sons, had a hakpada. Chaim Sanz would not wash his kittel after the Seder. Never would wash his kittel after the Seder before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He used to say that the kittel that has stains of wine and matzah and moror should be litzyosha by the Kiyas Shofar. That's what he would say every single year. But the Kavachai, the Rosh Hashanah Kluger says, no problem, you can wash your kittel. But look, take a look what he's saying. He says that since you're going to wear the kittel to the tefillah, it's considered a mitzvah. Now, you can daven without a kittel. You don't really need it. The answer is, the Reb Shlomo Kluger, without a question, is extending. Yeah, he's extending. So, the concept of nicha is a person wants to do something which is a Yiddish thing to do. That's what.
Be'er Talit, he says. Wow.
What's that? Yeah, you have to read. He extends. It's amazing. And take a look at the Matei Ephraim, which I quote next. The Matei Ephraim says that when you have a situation of another person's shofar, you want to borrow another person's shofar, the Matei Ephraim says, no problem, you can take it. Okay? Because Nichay Lindish will never mitzvah memoinai. The Matei Ephraim says, and how many tekiyos should you blow? Should you blow 30, which is the Ikar Hadin? Or once you borrow, can you blow 100? He says, you can blow 100. Right? Shofar shel Issa HaNor, the Mechaber says, you're allowed to use. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, you can only blow a minimal amount of kolot, because you can't, because what's the Ikar Hadin? But when it comes to Nicha, people want you to be able to be Mekayim a mitzvah Bishleimus, the way it should be done. Okay? So that's number one. Interesting, take a look at page number 7. I'm not going to go through the details anymore because we're getting late. But in 5 minutes we have to conclude, and I want to touch on 2-3 more topics. The Tzoros HaDeshin discusses, you have to travel, you don't have a lulav, you come into Shul Sukkot in the morning, you see somebody else's lulav on the in the shul. Can you use it or not? And the answer is yes. Why? However, like Simon said before, you can't do nanuim to shake it till you're going to break it to humans. He says to be yotze. Huh? First of all, lachem is only an obligation the first day. That's number one. Secondly, there's a big... It's on Cholamoed specifically. But I want to tell you, there's a fascinating discussion in the Achronim, which I definitely won't have the time to discuss now, if Nicha can create Lachem. That's already an interesting discussion, but that already is beyond the scope of tonight's discussion.
Against Lachem.
One second. No, when you specifically lend it to a person, that's one thing. So you said it's a loan, I'm not giving it to you. But if you say the Torah is nichas, I may be willing to give it to you as a gift. I'm a Talmud Lahachse. Okay, it's another discussion, but not right now. Now, the Taz, the bottom Taz discusses, are you allowed to go into another person's house and use his sukkah? So the Taz says, yes, absolutely. Nicha Lynch Levitz Mimani. However, exception. If you know the other person is going to come back in the middle, and he's not going to be able to go into his own sukkah because you're having a meal there, or the person will be uncomfortable because he wants to eat his meal in privacy, then there's no nicha because he has a hefset, he has a loss, right? He's makpid. Okay. One more fascinating tshuva, 8. Page number 8, the top tshuva, is a tshuva for Moshe Feinstein. Listen to this, this is a beautiful question. Moshe Feinstein wants to know if a woman is allowed to borrow another person's lulav because a woman is not chayav. No, even by this Sfaradim. Let's talk about this. No, Ashkenazim are not chayevet. They have a minhag by the Ashkenazim to do. The only difference between... They do it, and they make a bracha. That's a Beni Tam. The Sfaradim don't make a bracha.
No, that's the only...
What?
The woman, they used to do it.
Alt minhag, but not an obligation. They don't have an obligation, but Ashkenazim too. There's no obligation. It's mitzvah tasei shazman groma. How could it be? There's no, of course, no obligation. The only difference is that by the Ashkenazim, they make a bracha,
right,
like Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, Kedushin Lamed Aleph. By the Sfaradim, they don't make a bracha. That's the only difference. Okay, but in the obligation of them to shake the lulav, by the, there's none by us. There's a minhag. They do it. Okay.
It's not chiyuvi. It's kiyumi.
Exactly. If they want to do it, then they can get it. They can do it.
So the most challenge. If it's a mitzvah, you meet if they do it.
So Moshe Feinstein says, you're right. He says, since if they want to do it, it becomes a mitzvah, you meet. So therefore, the answer is yes. Prove it. So Moshe Feinstein has the most beautiful proof. You know what this proof is? Talit. A man's obligation to a talit is none. If you put on a beged of dalit kanfos, then you have an obligation to wear a talit. So Ramosha says, beautiful, listen to this logic. A woman to shake a lulav is like a man putting on a talit. So he says the answer is absolutely yes. That's how you made. It's a beautiful subject. You can go on, you can move on the subject for hours and hours.
Hours.
Huh?
Hours. Great.
Yeah, this is,